But our next guest is here every Wednesday morning at this time. Why? Because he's great. The great congressman out of Long Island and dear friend of both of ours, Peter King, live from the state of North Carolina. Good morning, Mr. King.
Good morning, Sid. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone there. Yeah, I'm down here in North Carolina visiting my daughter in, right outside of Charlotte in a place called Waxhaw, which I think half the people here are from New York. My daughter is neighbor. She has Orthodox Jews from Rockland County. She has Indian immigrants who lived in New York. She has Irish and Italian people. You never know you're down south. Immigrants from New York coming down.
That's funny. And you know, of course, you've had the conversation with my wife, Danielle, that she lived in Charlotte for 15 years.
Yeah, you told me that. Yeah,
yeah, so we know that area very, very well. It's beautiful there. And I know you got grandkids and the whole thing. So we'll get to the Thanksgiving part of the conversation at the end of this. But let's go right to the Rittenhouse verdict. It seems, Peter, like despite the acquittal, despite all the evidence, which undoubtedly points to self-defense, the media just won't accept this decision. Why is that?
Well, the verdict was clear that he was innocent, mainly because the media, first of all, the media has been a disgrace, and so have a lot of politicians, been disgraceful on this. Whether you like Rittenhouse or not, the fact is that from the start he was smeared, he was slandered, he was libeled. I mean, they made him out to a white supremacist, a guy who was walking through the streets of Wisconsin trying to just kill people with his AR-15. And the fact is it was none of that. But they kept saying it over and over and over again, including the president of the United States. And that, once they got into it, that was their narrative. They couldn't break loose. It didn't matter what the jury said. The jury found him innocent. That meant the jury was biased. I mean, this is the world we're in today. And he was clearly innocent. And, this wasn't a technicality. It wasn't like, the police didn't get a proper warrant or somebody changed their testimony. This was out and out by every account, even by the prosecution's own witness. It was self-defense. And that's it. Now, you may agree or disagree with whether or not there should be a self-defense statute. But the fact is that under the law, he was clearly innocent. And that, to me, they should accept it and go on, but they won't. Whether it's people like Joy Reid or any of the others, Don Lemon, they go on. It's just they are the ones who are so much responsible for the racial discord in the country today, because they make everything a racial issue. You have Rittenhouse, who was accused of shooting three white people. That meant he's a racist.
And not just white people, by the way, but one of them was a child molester. Not that they deserve to die at his hands. That's not his job. But these are some pretty awful people, Peter.
Absolutely. They really are. To me, we have a jury system. It's not always perfect. Sometimes there's verdicts you don't agree with. But in this case, whether you agreed with Rittenhouse or not, the fact is the case clearly showed he was innocent. This wasn't some technicality. It wasn't some, his lawyers did a good job, but it wasn't any trickery by the lawyers. It wasn't any great orations. They just brought out the evidence, and they kept their composure. But the ones who, I would say the media, and also the prosecutors here, I mean, they wanted to make this kid a trophy. They wanted to show that they were standing up for what's right. And they really, I think, hurt themselves. They hurt the legal system.
Peter, let's talk about the biggest story of the day, and this is why John Catsimatidis was on the show about an hour ago. President Joe Biden releasing about 50 million gallons of oil. And we know, of course, that we were energy efficient right here under Donald Trump, didn't rely on any other country for any of this. Here comes Biden, shuts down the pipelines, and now all of a sudden we're hitting up our oil reserves because we have gas lines and gas prices skyrocketing. What a mess. Did you see this press conference yesterday, and what did you think?
No, this is all a self-inflicted wound. I mean, first thing he did was shut down the Keystone Pipeline, which kept the oil from Canada coming into the U.S. Then he approved the Russian pipeline in Europe. Going after the oil industry the way they are. This was Joe Biden himself was the direct cause of the oil shortages we have. And you're right, we were energy independent, totally. For the first time in I don't know how many generations, President Trump had made us energy independent. He's also stopped the drilling in Alaska. I mean, this is just on federal lands. This is madness. I remember I was actually on, I guess it was Catch at Night, the first day that this was announced, that Joe Biden issued the executive order shutting down Keystone. And John, whose mind is certainly geared toward this, within seconds was telling us what this was going to do to the price of oil and gas and what that was going to do to prices on the market. So, the 50 million barrels, I mean, that's like a four-day supply of oil to the U.S. So this is No, it's totally self-inflicted. By the way, if I could just tell you one story. The other night, I was the guest speaker at the fire chiefs of New York. They had it down the stock exchange. It's a big dinner. And they had 34 new chiefs being installed. I was the guest speaker. I got up there. I thought I gave an absolutely brilliant speech. Then I opened up for questions. The first two questions, what are Bernie and Sid really like?
Oh, come on.
Guys, are they funny? I swear to God, I'm up here. I'm a great congressman. Talk to me. All they wanted to hear about was Bernie and Sid. So I don't know. I'm trying to have second thoughts about being on your show. Known as,
oh, that's funny.
I'm a caddy for Bernie and Sid. You know?
Well, you're no caddy to anybody, but that's it's good to hear that we're associated like that. I will tell you, that may have been not great, but you must have taken a victory lap a couple days ago when Nicole Malliotakis came out and said President Trump is good with me. We had a great conversation because Bernie is pretty smart, and a lot of the time, not all the time, a lot of the time he's right, but you kicked his ass on this show 2 weeks ago, and Nicole Malliotakis came out and said, look, even President Trump is with me. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm glad he did that. I mean, first of all, Nicole is a great member of Congress. I mean, I knew her when she was in the Assembly, when she ran for mayor. I remember meeting her at the 2012 Republican Convention down in Florida. Now, she's a real fighter for Staten Island, and she voted, you know, the way she thought was the best for her district, but she's still a solid, strong conservative and a strong supporter of President Trump. So I'm glad they worked out their differences. And, you know, we have to go forward from here. We have to stand united. We can't be fighting with ourselves. If we stay united, Republicans are going to win 70 or 80 seats in next year's election. It'll be one of the biggest landslides in history if we stay united and don't be going after each other. After the election, then we can formulate, you know, more specific policies. And there's always going to be some differences, but we agree on 90%. When I say we, Republicans agree on 90% of the issues, and that's what we got to do. And by the way, I was listening to Jack Cittarelli before, and he's right. We do have to do a much better job with the write-in ballots. I'm not a big fan of them. I don't like them. But they're going to be here, so we got to use it. We got to win.
Yeah, especially the Republicans. That was his point. Peter King here, the great congressman down in North Carolina. All right, Peter, so here we are the day before Thanksgiving. You're there with your beautiful daughter and your beautiful wife about to enjoy the holiday. What are you most thankful for the day before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, mainly for that. My wife, Rosemary, my son, Sean, my daughter, Erin, my grandchildren, Jack and Katie May, are all healthy. That, to me, is the most important thing. When, you know, anything on top of that is just you know, the icing on the cake. They're all healthy. They're all doing fine. Everyone's basically at a good place in life. So that, to me, means everything. And plus, you know, being an American, you know, living in the greatest country in the world, and also, not to kid around about it, being part of the WABC team with John Cascarides, you, Bernie. It's just a great – listen – growing up, whoever thought I'd end up here. This is great. This is the greatest place in the world. It really is.
Well, you deserve it. Four decades as a great congressman. We're thankful for you. We love the fact you're on this show every week and a dear, dear friend of ours. And you and Rosemary, your whole family, we love you. So enjoy your Thanksgiving Day holiday. Thank you for hopping on today. All the very best. And we'll talk to you again next week, Peter King. Happy Thanksgiving, pal.
Great shit. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, buddy. There he is, the great Congressman Peter King on this show every Wednesday morning at 7:40. That's a good man right there, Justin Alec. That's a good man.
You know it.